Let's talk digital.
We are at the cutting edge of digital tweaks, changes, transformation.
A local digital marketing podcast.
Conversing with industry experts and getting excerpts about the exceptional.
Hosted by Audrey Naidu.
Sit back, relax, enjoy your podcast. I'm really looking forward to what's coming up in South Africa in the next couple of months and years. How's it, everyone? Welcome back to the podcast with me, Audrey Naidu. Today, I'm super excited to reveal my guest from the Uber brand stable. We get to speak to Danielle Jobert, who is the Eater Growth Lead for Uber Eats in South Africa. In this role, Danielle focuses on user acquisition, engagement, and retention. She also looks for partnerships and product solutions for the Eats business. Creating the future of food delivery takes empathy, innovation, and an appetite for complex logistical challenges. Uber Eats taps into the digital space of taking the restaurant seamlessly into homes with the use of technology. We will delve into some of the local insights and stories surrounding Uber Eats and why this business model is gaining traction in South Africa. Danielle, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Audrey. It's great to be here today.
I was waiting to have the conversation about Uber, and it's wonderful to have you on the show with us. Before we start, would you like to tell our listeners more about yourself? I understand that you studied engineering at Stellenbosch University.
Yes, I studied engineering at Stellenbosch University. I then started my career as an innovation and strategy consultant after I joined Capitec Bank in the innovation team. And now I am at Uber Eats. I'm really exciting and I'm absolutely passionate and so excited about the journey that Uber Eats has in South Africa.
Yes, so Uber Eats started in South Africa in 2016, is that correct?
Yes, we launched the app in South Africa in 2016. And since then, I think the company has just grown and grown and grown, and have actually opened up so many more opportunities, within the local market.
Why don't you tell our listeners the story of Uber Eats? When was the concept ignited?
Since Uber has transformed the way people get from A to B, while also creating thousands of economic opportunities for people in their market, I think the obvious next question that people asked was, if we can get people to move from A to B, what can we do for food delivery? So in 2014, Uber actually launched a team which they called Uber Everything. And this team was tasked with the concept of what else would people want, you know, in terms of like push a button and I want it at my door. So this team actually started experimenting with food, and they quickly realized that there was such a huge appetite for people to get food delivered reliably. Any idea, it definitely didn't get off the ground successfully from day one. The team started with a concept, and they hacked a sophisticated solution in the Uber Rides app, and it was actually called Uber Fresh. And what they did was they partnered with a bunch of restaurants locally in LA, and they gave eaters or people at that stage, users, the ability to order from these restaurants and get it delivered under 10 minutes, which was quite exciting and actually incredible. But as soon as it started getting traction and they started launching other cities, they realized that time is not the only thing that people want. People are considering things like selection. They want more options. And that's really where the concept started and where this, you know, the idea was built from. So in 2015, they went on this path of actually building a standalone Uber Eats app where consumers can find anything at their local stores, national brands, you know, healthy foods such as salad to burgers, and really like creating the solution where you can deliver anything people wanted at any place, whether it's at home, at the office, a party with friends. That's where Uber Eats is, where Uber Eats started. So in 2016, like you've mentioned, Uber Eats took the app global. And today, Eats is actually one of Uber's most exciting and prominent big bold bets, where we're actually providing and proving that our technology and logistics expertise can create a billion-dollar business.
Well, that sounds fascinating. I think the question I had for you is food delivery the real end game for Uber Eats?
Definitely not. I don't think we've even scratched the surface of our potential. And I mean, you can imagine whether it's your parent juggling hungry mouths at home or a commuter heading back to the office, the world in which Uber has evolved has been so rapid, and we've actually, you know, entered unprecedented ways in which our business operates. And I think even if you just look at the business model and the unlimited potential that it has, and I think it's evidenced by the ongoing products and services that we've added, Uber Eats being the first successful one, but we've also added and launched Uber Connect, Uber Assist, Uber Air, Jump, Freight. Some of these haven't even launched in South Africa. So we really only untapped a small portion of our potential, and we'll definitely continue to invest in our communities, launch new products, expand into new cities. And we really want to stay close to our city leaders and understand, you know, what are the needs that our customers want and how can we create innovative ways to solve for those needs.
Before we go into the topic in detail, I want to actually touch on 2016, back to when you guys launched in South Africa. How did you experience the launch?
So at that stage, I wasn't part of the business in South Africa, and it was also the rides business. And as you know, I sit more in the Eats business. So I don't want to exactly say how we experienced it, but I think the biggest thing as Uber that is a cultural norm in our business globally is we have global products that we localize, and that's really what we do. So we take great technology that's built to solve a problem, and we specialize, our local teams then specializes in taking those products and localizing it to answer and foresee the demands of the local market.
So you build your proposition around global and local nuances.
Yes, for sure. That is definitely, I think, the thing that Uber, that differentiates Uber and makes us the business that we are today.
So in terms of 2020, how did COVID impact the Uber business model?
Yeah, so I think it was obviously very challenging for both Uber Rides and Uber Eats, especially initially when we were still in level 5 lockdown in South Africa. It was a big challenge, but I think it was such an exciting time for the business as it was all hands on deck during those early days. The team really looked at innovation and like what are the outlining opportunities and solutions that we can actually drive our business so that our drivers and delivery partners, as well as our restaurants, can also benefit from the potential solutions that we come up with. As you know, restaurants could not use our app or deliver food during level 5 lockdown in South Africa. So the team actually engaged with key policy stakeholders, and this enabled us to open our app and allowed to start delivering essential goods. So we partnered with various merchants across cities to deliver like household products, frozen foods, as well as even going as far to deliver non-script medication. So this was really well deserved. And since then, I mean, I think what happened was we actually launched these categories outside of food delivery. And now users to this day still have access to, you know, other elements on demand, such as grocery. We've added butcheries. I don't know if you've seen, we even added retailers such as game, exclusive books. And I think the thing that I'm most excited about is pet supplies with a merchant called Absolute Pets. So I think what 2020 did is it really opened and challenged the teams to think outside the box and solve, again, for new emerging customer needs that 2020 actually opened up.
So from what I'm understanding, Uber Eats Essentials was born out of this. Am I right?
Yes, you are completely right.
Okay, so that was the Go Grow Farm.
Yes, Go Grow Farm. What we mean with that is convenience, which is then essential goods, grocery, as well as then the pharmacies, which we've added to the platform.
Okay, cool. Are there any local consumer nuances or insights worth mentioning?
I think in terms of behavior change that we've seen due to COVID-19, there's a much bigger appetite for online grocery orders as well as restaurant takeaways. I think a lot of people that have never even considered ordering from an app is or a website is either considering it or doing it for the first time. So I think the first thing was this kind of digital shift that's going on, where eaters are using these platforms. And I think, you know, people aren't really going to stop using Amazon as an example. And I think that also being said, people won't really stop using Eats. So what happened was, I think there was this massive acceleration for growth into grocery as well as essential goods delivery, when restaurants could not operate in like level 5. And then also what we've seen, which was also interesting, is we've definitely seen this trend towards healthier eating. So since May 2020, so last year, we really saw an increase of around like 71% in healthy orders, as well as a 82% growth in searching for healthy meal options when people engage with the app. And I think, like, just interesting, some of the quarantine favorites were, you know, miso soup or fruit smoothies. So really that healthy trend was something that interesting that was developed. As well as, I think, not just healthy foods, but also people really developed a taste for raw and natural ingredients. And this is also aligned with, I think, the global movement of a healthier lifestyle since the pandemic launched.
There is a perception that Uber Eats is more for your affluent market. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I think I don't want to say I agree or disagree, because it all depends on what affluent versus not affluent means, especially in the South African local context. I think what I would say on that is Uber really tries to make our deals as affordable as possible. And that's why we also run so many local deals in the app. We work with partners to create local deals. We also run campaigns on free delivery, etc. So our goal is to make Uber Eats affordable enough so that it's a service that most South Africans can use.
Uber is known for innovation and digital disruption. How have you brought this philosophy into the South African market?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing is we really look at what our local market needs. We understand that each country and obviously therefore each economy really works differently. And there's certain practices that we really tailor to suit this current environment. Like I mentioned in the beginning, we think local, but we build global, which is one of the key sayings in Uber. So what we want is we really want to increase the consideration of delivery in terms of food or essentials. And we really want Uber to become that go-to app for South Africans when it comes to delivering these goods. So I think with a lot of these options that already exist in the market, we had to really make sure that South Africans understand how we are more reliable and more convenient as Uber Eats, while obviously, you know, really having all the food options and selection that our clients want. So as we really started to kind of move closer towards South Africans' hearts and by essence, their stomachs, we also wanted to show them that they understand that we understand them, even if we are a global brand. And we really try and make Uber Eats the most authentic brand that the country for food delivery. So for that, we actually even created a campaign because nobody gets food delivery like we do. So we introduced a character called Gogo, which in Zulu means grandma, as well as with the son Tebza. And this duo family really created moments that South Africans can recognize and understand. And while lockdown restrictions were still being enforced in the country, we actually kept our content COVID safe, as well as social first. So to allow us to engage with our local market in an innovative way, we definitely swarmed Instagram and Facebook with stories and feeds, interactive ads, etc. But the quarantine period really gave our Gogo time to learn the ins and outs of the Uber Eats app And she, as a character, really became one of South Africa's most digital savvy grannies. And with that, we really tried and hopefully got it right to connect with this local market in an authentic way.
How did you find the performance of this campaign in terms of adoption and engagement?
Yeah, so we really saw success in terms of this campaign. A lot of South Africans are actually referring to Google when they mention Uber Eats on social channels. They actually feel like it's someone that they know because they could relate on that level. So I definitely think this campaign gave us that, opened that door for us to connect to the local market and also to prove to them that we want to build and live local. So yeah, I think it was a really good success.
Just out of interest, is Uber Eats only in South Africa on the African continent?
So Uber Eats is already in Kenya. So it's South Africa and Kenya. When you look at sub-Saharan Africa, yes.
Okay, cool. So I just want to pause and talk about innovation, because when you and I had a chat, you spoke about two types of innovation. You want to take us through that?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing in terms of innovation within Uber, we have on the one side product innovation, which is, you know, some of the features that we've launched, such as Uber Connect, which again improves people's lives by giving them the ability to deliver, you know, small products to their friends and families. Within that, we also delivered, you know, or innovated a subscription model for both Uber Rides as well as Uber Eats, which we call Uber Pass and Eats Pass. And both of these products actually allows users to pay a monthly subscription and then save across either both platforms with Uber Pass or just the Eats platform with Eats Pass. But what's also really exciting, the second piece of our innovation funnel, if I can call it that, is really just updating nuanced features in the app, which is really cool in terms of like the in-app experience. So one of the things that we've launched as an example is we've actually given our eaters the ability to opt in or opt out for utensils. These could be straws, cutlery, you know, anything that actually enhances or increases plastic that's being distributed in the country. And by allowing eaters to opt out of that, especially because these food, you know, food might be delivered to homes or offices where these things actually are available, we've actually really significantly reduced the number of plastic or the amount of plastic that gets distributed. One of the new features in the app, which is really fun, is actually a client's ability to search for the food that they're looking for using emojis. I think this is absolutely brilliant because we all talk with emojis over WhatsApp or social channels. And again, it just allows, it just proves Uber's ability to view, you know, user needs and then build for that. And then a last innovation that's part of almost more the feature innovation, if I can call it that side of the two-sided innovation, is the ability to deliver gifts. So you can actually order a gift for your friends or family, essential workers, and this could be for holidays or thank yous or even just good luck. It's Friday, last day of the week. So this feature actually allows you to enter the recipient's address, send an order on their behalf, send them a personal note, and then the recipient will be able to track their order in their Uber Eats app. So I think that just kind of shows this two-sided. Of one side, it's this big product innovations that leaps us forward. And then on the other side, it's more these feature innovations that really enhances the experience our users get in the app.
So more around sustainable innovation.
Definitely sustainable innovation, yes.
Okay, so how can you just give us a little glimpse of what Uber Connect, because I know you mentioned it upfront in our conversation.
Yeah, so Uber Connect is our ability to basically for same day courier services, if I can call it that way. So you can actually courier a package to one another, whether that's your friend, your family. We've actually also seen small businesses make use of this product. So, I mean, to use a good example, you had lunch on Sunday at your parents' home, which is 40 minutes away. Monday starts, and you forgot your keys or your sunglasses or something with that regard. So this product actually allows you to then send that package in on demand, so on the same day to people around you. And like I've mentioned, small businesses are also using this feature now because it allows that same day delivery of packages that they want to send to their customers.
Okay. How have you dealt with the demand for on-the-go services? Like you can see that there's many on-demand services popping up due to the nature of the pandemic and what's happening with the environment. So with the new entrants in the market, how do you actually keep up?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing is, I mean, to the point that you're making, especially after the pandemic, this appetite for whether it's food delivery or just general on-demand services are just growing in South Africa. And I think the biggest thing and most important point is there's room for each one of these services to definitely meet different demands of our clients or of the general South African population. So we really believe the competition that Uber Eats brings is not only relevant for consumers, as we provide and try to provide a lot of options to them, but it's also fantastic for the network of delivery partners who now have even more opportunities to make money because they can work on, across multiple of these on-demand services. It gives more opportunity for the restaurants, as it also gives them the ability to grow their business even further.
Yeah, I think Uber Eats then is actually promoting job sustainability as well. I mean, looking at how many people are unemployed, so that creates an opportunity to have more jobs, so people can get an income during this time.
Yes, we definitely work towards creating more economic opportunities for South Africans as much as possible, whether it's our restaurant partners as well as our delivery partners. And we do this by providing, flexible working environment so that they can choose the hours that they use the Uber Eats platform. And we've really also tried to increase the safety by adding, an in-app emergency button, as well as we've provided them with injury protection. And again, we also give them the ability to not just, use the Uber Eats app, but they are, they can actually use multiple apps to, again, increase their economic opportunities and earn more money.
Okay, I want to go back to the concept of sustainable innovation and talk about disrupting the disruptor model inside Uber. How does this impact the culture inside your organization?
Yeah, so I think there's a few things in terms of our culture, and we can probably talk for hours about the internal culture. That's such a positive and amazing experience for me as well. I think two things that I really want to highlight is this customer obsession that is core to our cultural values at Uber Eats. And this really means that we ensure with everything that we do that we focus on serving the needs of our customers. And I mean, to the discussions that we've even had before, this is a three-sided marketplace. So our customers are not just our eaters. It's our restaurants as well as our delivery partners that we really obsess about and focus on creating and serving their needs. I think the second thing for me is just we see the true value in partnerships and how invaluable it is to our business. So we really ensure that we invest in our partnerships through customer centricity. And we also ensure that our partners are long-lasting partnerships. Then the second thing in terms of this disruptive model in terms of this cultural norms is really this norm around giving our employees the ability to act like owners. And this is really where Uber Eats empowers the employees with autonomy to make decisions. And by giving, and creating this culture of acting like owners, it allows the business to really act fast when opportunity you know, comes up, or even to create opportunities, because they are empowered to make those decisions locally, or we're empowered to make those decisions locally.
How would you explain the concept of being a digital first brand?
Yeah, so I think by nature, Uber is a very digital first brand, perhaps even mobile first. So I would say that, well, mobile is our primary channel for many of our key audiences. And it's also very business critical for us in terms of like being digital savvy at all times. So I think it's an interesting thing, you know, building a relationship only on digital digital services and mobile services. And I think it also positions Uber Eats or Uber as a front runner in this digital first economy, you know, that the world and especially South Africa as well is moving towards.
Yeah, certainly we're disrupting. I mean, the whole economy and business models are being disrupted currently. I would see Uber at the forefront of this. Daniel, in closing, what would you like to leave our listeners with in terms of a sustainable innovation model?
Yeah, I think I would probably leave the listeners with, you know, the excitement of what the potential and the business potential in South Africa is. And I think the importance of creating a culture of innovation within a business, empowering your employees to make decisions and move fast, because I think clients' needs are ever changing. And it's the businesses that has that ability to adapt quick enough to fulfill those needs, you know, as quickly, but also as best as they can. That I think will really thrive in the economic digital first environment that we operate in.
Daniel, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it. It was great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, and good luck. I look forward to all the conversations on Let's Talk Digital.
Perfect. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We're excited. You're excited.
Really value and appreciate your support during this time.
Helping decision makers navigate the change and keep some change in their pockets.
Don't forget to subscribe, follow our Instagram handle at
TalkDigitalZA.
Engage us on our website at TalkDigitalZA.co.za.
And who knows, you could be featuring on the next one.